Today we're here to announce a new initiative that addresses the very serious problem of alcohol abuse in Wisconsin. That initiative is called AWARE, All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education. And today we have the leadership from UW Health here to explain a little more about it. First up is Dr. Jeffrey Grossman from UW Foundation.
Thanks, Ryan. Good afternoon. Thank you for coming. I'm Dr. Jeff Grossman. I'm the president and CEO of the University of Wisconsin Medical Foundation. We are the practice plan organization of the faculty of the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, and we're the largest physician, academic physician group in Wisconsin. I'm joined today by a couple of my colleagues, Donna Caton-Bahensky, who's the president and CEO of University of Wisconsin Hospital and Clinics, and Dean Robert Golden of the School of Medicine and Public Health. Our three organizations make up UW Health, which is Wisconsin's only public academic health center. While we're based in Madison, we really serve all of Wisconsin's residents through our clinics and our outreach activities. We're here today to announce the launch of a major initiative to address Wisconsin's alcohol abuse problems. As clinicians, researchers, and educators, we've recognized for some time that excessive consumption of alcohol in Wisconsin is a very significant problem. We think that it's imperative to address this problem by beginning a very public set of conversations and actions that respond to the health, cultural, and financial aspects of alcohol abuse. Wisconsin has an unenviable profile when it comes to alcohol. While the rest of the country is drinking less, we're drinking more. Wisconsin regularly ranks at the top or near the top of the national rankings for high risk and heavy drinking. We lead the nation in alcohol consumption, binge drinking, and heavy drinking. We have three times the national arrest rate for liquor law violations. And when more than half of other states are experiencing decreases, we're actually experiencing increases in driving fatalities related to alcohol. In fact, as the nation as a whole is seeing decline or stabilization in rates of alcohol consumption, in Wisconsin, for high school students and young adults, the rates are going up. Compared to the U.S. as a whole, Wisconsin has higher rates of underage drinking, underage binge drinking, drinking among women of childbearing age. In 2005, underage drinkers consumed almost 17% of all alcohol sold in Wisconsin, for a total of nearly $500 million. Alcohol abuse touches all of our missions. As healthcare providers, we see the impact of alcohol abuse across the entire spectrum of our work, in emergency rooms, in our clinics, in intensive care units, in our mental health facilities, and in our social service needs. And the health risk of alcohol abuse is, of course, not limited to those who drink. Heavy drinking creates behavior that puts others at risk for disrupted relationships, injuries, and death. Despite our understanding of this problem, our professional experience as educators and researchers and clinicians tells us that the fundamental problem of alcohol abuse is not being solved presently. We think that the time has come to attack Wisconsin's alcohol abuse problems head on. We're announcing today the launch of the All Wisconsin Alcohol Risk Education AWARE Project. The statewide effort is aimed at increasing public awareness of the gravity of alcohol abuse in Wisconsin and supporting the formulation of an aggressive public policy agenda promoting responsible alcohol use and solutions to alcohol abuse. Anna?
Good afternoon. I'm Donna Caton-Bahensky, the president and CEO of the University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics. UW Hospitals and Clinics encompasses American Family Children's Hospital, more than 80 outpatient clinics, 6 intensive care units, which include trauma and life support, pediatric, cardiac, cardiothoracic, burn, and neurosurgery. And we are one of only 2 organizations in Wisconsin with a designated level 1 adult and pediatric trauma centers. The extensive regional and statewide reach of UW hospitals and clinics means that we see a diverse array of patients who require a vast range of care. As Western Wisconsin's level 1 trauma center, we treat impaired drivers and their victims almost every day. In 2007, 30% of our emergency room admissions after motor vehicle accidents involved alcohol. That was a jump from the year 2000, when 11% were alcohol-related. Underage drinking cost the citizens of Wisconsin $1.2 billion in 2005. These costs include medical care, work loss, and pain and suffering associated with the multiple problems resulting from the use of alcohol by youth. This translates to a cost of $2,048 per year for each youth in Wisconsin. The annual economic impact of alcohol-related health and social problems in Wisconsin is nearly $5 billion. Every year, there are 1,300 alcohol-related deaths, 8,500 traffic crashes, 6,800 traffic injuries, and 2,400 substantiated cases of child abuse and 90,000 arrests. In recent years, the level of care that we provide to patients who arrive at our hospital with a blood alcohol level of 0.08 or above has steadily increased. From 2005 to 2008, we saw nearly 1,400 patients with blood alcohol levels of 0.08 or above. In addition, we didn't see these patients just once. We saw them many, many times. On average, over the last 3 years alone, these 1,400 patients encountered our hospital nearly 6,000 times. In fact, 30% of the time, these patients entered our hospital through the emergency room. As we treat these patients, a sequence of issues present with dire consequences for the patients and their families. Wisconsin is one of two states where the law requires auto insurance to pay for auto repairs, even if the driver is drinking. Yet the Wisconsin law allows health insurance companies to deny coverage for the impaired driver's hospital bill. This law also discourages healthcare providers from screening patients for alcohol abuse and other addictive disorders. Every patient who comes in our emergency room is treated. Yet in the case of drunken drivers, the hospital can be denied payment. This puts a burden on the hospital and on taxpayers who pay for the care of drunken drivers through higher premiums. UW Health spends more than 16% of its charity care dollars on people who arrive legally intoxicated. In our review over these last 3 years, the average blood alcohol limit of those patients is 0.22, nearly three times the legal limit. Overall, in Wisconsin, in 2006 alone, total charges for alcohol-related hospitalizations amounted to nearly $720 million. The cost of caring just for those individuals who show at our hospital and emergency rooms with a blood alcohol level of 0.08 and above is staggering. As an example of just one Wisconsin hospital, when we look at all of our encounters with those people who are legally drunk, we find a total cost of $35.5 million. And only about a third of their care is compensated. The costs are even greater when you include patients who are clearly intoxicated yet have alcohol blood levels that don't meet the legal definition. The result is a healthcare catastrophe where clinicians are discouraged from screening patients for addictive disorders and care is uncompensated. This catastrophe means stretching already thin resources. It means even heavier burdens placed on families and loved ones. The AWARE project intends to build a statewide coalition made up of healthcare organizations, hospitals, law enforcement, business groups, and local and state organizations, and to work with our elected officials to raise public awareness, to decrease underage drinking, to combat drunk driving, and to change insurance laws and regulations that provide barriers to medical and mental health services. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for joining us today. I'm Bob Golden, the Dean of the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Our school has a very special, unique relationship with the people of Wisconsin. We recognize the central role of service in our institution's purpose as articulated in the Wisconsin IDEA. As a school of medicine and public health, we focus not only on diagnosing and treating disease, but also on preventing disease and promoting health. Our faculty are engaged in research projects aimed at addressing this devastating health issue of alcohol abuse. For example, in partnership with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, And with a $12.6 million federal grant, we are promoting and supporting the delivery of alcohol and drug screening intervention and referral services in 20 primary care settings across the state of Wisconsin. Our Wisconsin Partnership Program, which was created by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Endowment, is funding 12 regional and statewide initiatives directed at alcohol abuse prevention, early intervention, and treatment services. And our medical students learn about how to screen for and treat alcohol and drug abuse, and they learn about the vast array of health issues that are directly associated with these problems. Yet despite all this research and education efforts, the problem is getting worse and worse here in Wisconsin. For these reasons, we believe that it is essential for public policy to now address this problem in our state. My background is in psychiatry, and in psychiatry, we talk about enablers. This is a term that refers to family and friends who unconsciously aid and abet drinking in an alcoholic. I believe our current laws are enablers. They must stop. The AWARE Project will develop a coalition that will encourage our legislators to recognize the vital importance of addressing the health, social, and economic costs of alcohol abuse. We seek to partner and collaborate with any and all health and other interest groups. Our goal is to dramatically change the laws, the culture, and especially the behaviors in Wisconsin, so that we can become one of the best, rather than embarrassingly one of the worst, states in the nation in regards to alcohol abuse. Our initial efforts will focus on several state laws. Wisconsin is currently one of only two states that do not issue a felony charge until the fifth drunk driving conviction. Yet first-time drunk drivers account for 68% of all fatal and serious injury accidents. First-time drunk driving penalties in Wisconsin should be increased, and underage drinkers should lose their driver's licenses. As we build this coalition, the AWARE Project will also focus on several other items. For example, outreach efforts to educate the public on the health risks associated with the excessive and binge consumption of alcohol. The development of effective policies and communication programs aimed at reducing drunk driving and underage drinking. And advocating for new state laws and regulations that will prohibit health insurance companies from denying claims for accident victims who test positive for alcohol. Wisconsin is an island of excessive alcohol consumption. It is well past the time to change the direction and join the mainstream, join the rest of the country. Instead of leading the country in alcohol abuse, we should lead the country in progressive reform, as we have in so many other areas here in Wisconsin. And we must now address this serious problem with wisdom, compassion, and dedication. Thank you. Donna, Jeff, and I would now be happy to entertain any questions from the audience. We feel that there ought to be criminal violations attached after the first OWI.
A felony?
No. And then after another number of OWIs to move towards a felony charge. Right now, it takes five OWIs before it's a felony. So we think there ought to be a response after the first one, and the response ought to be more severe if it's not the first and only one. The specifics, though, in this and several other areas will be discussed with the other members of the coalition. What we feel very strongly about is that it is time to take action in these areas that are outlined here. We believe that the best way to do this, though, is through a coalition to bring other people to the table as we refine the specifics of each of these elements. Donna, Jeff, would you want to add anything to that?
Well, many states in the United States have three hits and you're out, you lose your license or you get a felony charge. And I think we ought to follow along some of those other states doing that. Yeah.
How do y'all think, do you think this will be successful? I mean, we're dealing with laws that have been, in place for many years.
Do you want to start that one?
Well, I think what we're doing today is getting the ball rolling. We are trying to get this out in front of as many people, starting with the press, as possible. And as Dean Golden said, start to build a coalition that addresses this problem as a large group with hopefully a fair amount of leverage. So that's our goal.
Have you sought out the participation of groups like the Tavern League or Liquor Wholesalers? Will you be doing so if not yet?
I think it's fair to say we welcome everybody in the coalition.
Have you actively sought out participation from groups like the Tavern League?
I don't believe we have as of yet.
Do you have a time frame for when you'd like to see some of these goals accomplished?
We would like to push forward on this very forcefully and very aggressively during the upcoming legislative session. As Dr. Grossman has mentioned, we do not believe that we will cross the finish line overnight. But we recognize that if we don't start on the journey now, we will never get there. We also believe that the timing is ripe. We actually have been discussing this, planning this, working on this for quite some time, going back a ways. And like the rest of the country, we did not anticipate the horrible economic disaster that has struck not only our country but the world. In a way, this crisis is also an opportunity. As others have mentioned, this state is wasting millions and millions of dollars every month on preventable accidents, on other dangerous and unhealthy items that are draining away precious resources. So we think that, in fact, out of this overall backdrop of an economic crisis, there is a real opportunity to push forward in a way that will not only save money for the state, but also save lives.
What happens next in this process? I know it's obviously not going to happen overnight, but what happens?
Well, for one thing, we've already asked individuals if they're interested, or groups, to get on our website, which is uwhealth.org/aware, to be able to either ask questions or to volunteer to participate. We already, I understand, have received some notification from individuals that they are interested in helping us with this initiative. So it's going to be meeting with groups, giving presentations to groups that we think may have some interest in this, and getting them to sign on with this.
What about legislative support? What do you have as far as contacts with any individual legislators or leadership?
Well, we do know that we've made some contacts in years past with individual legislators that we know have a particular interest in this. I believe that they still have some interest, but now it's going to getting some more data and information to all those individuals through our appropriate contacts in our legislative office.
But is there like a specific person who's already, gotten on board with them?
Well, we know from information that has come to us that Senator Risser, of course, is extremely supportive of this and has wanted to be. We do have individuals on our hospital authority board that we would hope that we could talk to about this as a possibility. Yes.
What do you see as your biggest obstacle to passing some of this change?
I wish I could answer. I think some of it's the culture, as was referenced earlier. When you've been doing things a certain way for a certain length of time, I think there's some inertia there, and you've got to get people moving ahead with some new initiatives.
Let me add to Donna's response. There's an old joke that I'm sure many of you have heard too many times, where the pollster goes to the door and asks the person who responds, what are the biggest problems facing us now? And the answer is, oh, that's easy. It's apathy and ignorance. And the second question is, what should we do? And the response is, I don't know and I don't care. And I think when it comes to this epidemic of deaths from alcohol abuse, the biggest obstacles that we have are apathy and ignorance. And so I think, as in so many other important issues, we have to educate and get rid of the ignorance. We have to explain to people that what we are talking about is not normal social drinking. We are talking about an epidemic of alcohol abuse, and we have to get rid of the apathy. I think when people understand, and when they hear the stories, and there's a personal face attached to the horrible, devastating loss of life that takes place on our highways because of drunk drivers every week, when people learn about the health risks When people learned about what it does to families, not just for the identified drinker, but for the other relatives who are affected, and during these very difficult economic times, when they learn how much this is costing us as a state, as a society, as a community, then I think we can break through the apathy and ignorance, and that will be the most important roadblocks to really going forward with progressive social policy.
Just a word about the cost. Today, I think we've dwelled on the acute costs associated with trauma and acute illness. We have to, that's really just scratching the surface. And below that is a vast array of chronic illnesses that are related to alcohol, which are even more important in driving our healthcare costs. I'm an intensive care physician by training. I just finished a week in the intensive care unit. And I'm not talking about trauma patients. I'm talking about people with chronic illness. Over half the patients I cared for in the past week had alcohol-related illnesses. So the burden, the economic burden, is enormous, and it continues to grow.
We have a question. Did I hear you say that if somebody has a car accident or some kind of accident and they're impaired because of alcohol, the insurance company does not pay for that hospitalization, or is it subsequent to that accident that they have dropped?
Current laws in our state will allow insurance companies to deny coverage if there is documentation in the note that the person was intoxicated when they came in. Not all insurance companies do that, but there is an opening that can be exploited by insurance companies, and we want to close that opening. It's not only bad policy in terms of cost shifting, but it actually punishes the patient, their family, for screening for and referring for treatment if it's documented as it must be in the health record. So we feel that's a loophole that has to be eliminated, as it has been in most other states.
Could you cite some of the alcohol-related diseases you referred to? I mean, I'm assuming cirrhosis would be one, but obviously there must be a number of others as well.
Yeah, and they are mostly liver-related, but acute alcoholic hepatitis, pancreatitis, liver transplantation, cirrhosis, and very often these are combined with other debilitating diseases. So they're becoming increasingly common.
Any impact? What sort of impact does alcohol have on diabetic patients? When you sell it?
Well, we know that there is people with alcoholism and diabetes do worse than people with diabetes alone for a number of physiologic and cultural reasons, sociologic reasons.
Are there any other questions? Well, we'd like to thank you for coming today. And if you did not get a press release when you came in, please see Lisa Burnett. Where are you, Lisa? Can you raise your hand? Back in the back. Or if we can help you with further interviews.